Welcome to the Westview Church Podcast. Our vision at Westview is creating space for self and community to find rest in Christ. And we're thankful that today you've created space in your day to study God's Word together with us. If you'd like more information about Westview Church, find us on the web at www.westview.org.
Jesus, thank you for the opportunity to gather with fellow believers and those in their journey with you for this opportunity to worship you. Enable us, please, Jesus, to do so with joy and gratitude for your life and death and resurrection on our behalf. Thank you for all who are serving us this morning, from the praise team to the nursery to children's worship to the hospitality teams to sound and projection and camera. The list goes on and on. We thank and we praise you. Holy Spirit, just as you led these authors to put God's Word into print, now imprint them on our minds and hearts. Empower us, Holy Spirit, to further grow in Christ-likeness. We pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. Determining God's will, doing God's will. Our passage that we want to start with this morning is Romans 12, 1 and 2. If you turn in your Bibles or your electronic devices to Romans 12, 1 and 2, and we'll look together at half a dozen passages or so. Romans 12, 1 and 2. Hear, please, the word of the Lord. Therefore, I urge you, brothers, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God. This is your spiritual act of worship. Do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, His good, pleasing, and perfect will. Here ends the reading of God's holy and His inspired word. Amen. Last week we talked about and discussed the fact that God is the center of all things. This universe revolves around the Lord. He is an intelligent creator. He is the ultimate judge. In other words, He is the one from whom we have all come. He is the one by whom we all exist today. And He is the one to whom we will all answer. Desiring God's will was Roman numeral number one, and then Roman numeral number two was discovering God's will, and we found from Romans 12, verse 2, that God's will is good, and it is pleasing to the Lord, and it is perfect. Then secondly, we looked at discovering God's universal will for all believers. And we looked at a number of passages where that theme popped out at us. We looked at God's will. It talked about God's will. We found in John chapter 6, verses 39 and 40, that it is God's universal will for all believers that we are assured of our salvation. Jesus says, nothing will snatch any believer in me out of my hand. The old Satan cannot pry my fingers back. I will keep all believers safe and secure in me. We talked about experiencing joyful worship, having an attitude of appreciation and thanksgiving and generosity. We talked about exhibiting maturity and growing in Christ-likeness. We talked about exhibiting a consistent societal influence, whether we're at work or whether we're at school or in our neighborhood or in places of business. We're called upon. It is God's universal will for all believers to always seek to influence the scenario in which we find ourselves, influence that scenario for the Lord Jesus Christ. We shift this morning to looking at discerning God's specific will for you and for me, which can be very different. It was God's specific will last Monday morning that I see the eye doctor. And they did tests for glaucoma and cataracts. Tuesday morning, it was God's specific will for Carl to volunteer as the greeter at Waypoint Ministries, the food pantry that's down in the basement. For other families, it is, the least as I understand it, all high schools across Iowa honor Family Week, or as the students and the athletes call it, Dead Week. There's no open gym. There can be no band camp, no football camp, volleyball camp, and groups can't gather together. There can be no choreo camp for those folks in show choir. It's Family Week. And I trust many, many families of our community were able to take vacation and found rest and renewal and refreshment through Family Week. As we think about discerning God's specific will for our lives, we want to look at some three spiritual conditions and then look at two practical examples that have proved helpful for me. But first of all, three spiritual considerations as we discern God's specific will for your life versus and can be in contrast to God's will for my life. First of all, our attitude towards the Lord is to be one of humility and surrender. Reading again, Romans 12, 1 and 2. Therefore, I urge you, brothers, in view of God's mercy, number one, offer your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God. This is your spiritual act of worship. Number two, do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world. Number three, be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, His good, pleasing, and perfect will. Too many mornings, I want to be in control of my life. And I don't have an attitude of humility and submission before the Lord. But the Lord says, no, Carl, no Westview worshiper, you surrender. You have an attitude of humility, and then I will fill in the details. Now, I like control. And I would love God to fill in all the details, and then I'll decide whether I am obedient and follow through on His will and His way and His purposes. But God says, no, 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 no. I won't play fast and free with you. You get your attitude right. Wake up with a spirit of humility and submission, and then say, I'll follow you, Jesus. You guide me. You direct me. Holy Spirit, show me the way, and then I will fill in the details. Spiritual consideration is it's essential to get our attitude before the Lord correct. And then secondly, it's through the activity of the Holy Spirit we discern God's specific will. If you turn just a few pages in your Bible to your right to 1 Corinthians 2, 9 and 10. 1 Corinthians 2, 9 and 10. Last week we talked about it is God's universal will that we're all secure in our salvation in Jesus. But the Bible says, and I know from personal experience, and the Bible says that we all still have a bent towards sin. And so when we wake up, our eyes and our ears and our mind with that sin bent, don't just automatically focus on the Lord. But in 1 Corinthians 2, 9 and 10, we read these words, "No eye has seen, no ear has heard, no mind has conceived what God has prepared for those who love Him. But God has revealed His will, His plan, His purposes to us by His Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit searches all things, even the deep things of God." It is the ministry of the Holy Spirit, amongst many other things, to show and reveal and demonstrate to you and to me, to guide us in God's specific will for our lives. And if I'm tuned into the Spirit, if I'm surrendering, usually I will get a clear signal from the Holy Spirit of the way to go in discovering God's will. Attitude of the mind and heart is surrender. Number two, listening to the Holy Spirit. And then thirdly, the application of the Scriptures. A number of times, the Scriptures will give conditions that you and I are invited to follow, and then God gives His promise. Our conditions that we follow, and then God's promise that we can claim. If you turn back with me, please, to Psalm 37, 3 and 4. Psalm 37, verses 3 and 4, and also looking at Proverbs 3, 5 and 6. You'll note the conditions that God invites Carl and you and all believers to follow, and then we're able to claim the promises of God. Note the conditions in Psalm 37, verse 3. Trust in the Lord, do good, dwell in the land, and then the promise, the claim, enjoy safe pasture. Verse 4, note the condition. Delight yourself in the Lord, and then the promise, and He will give you the desires of your heart. One congregation, a gentleman, would often say, Oh, the psalmist has promised that the Lord will give me all the delights of my heart. And I could see his wife squirm when he said that. So about the third time he said that, the Lord is going to give me all the desires of my heart. That's the promise. I said, well, let's go back and look at its context. Note the context. Psalm 37, verse 4, delight yourself in the Lord. Westview worshiper, Carl, delight in the will, in the way, and the purposes of the Lord. And Carl, I know you have a bent towards sin, but God will change your desires. And as God changes your desires to follow God's will and way and plan, then the promise we can claim, God will give Carl, Westview worshiper, God will give you the desires of your heart. Note the condition in the next verse. commit your way to the Lord. Further, trust in the Lord, and he will do this. And note the promise in verse 6. He will make your righteousness shine like the dawn, the justice of your cause like the noonday sun. And if you turn to the next book to your right, to Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. Note again the conditions were to follow. I am to be obedient to. All believers are to be obedient to. And then the promise. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. Note the conditions. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. Thirdly, in all your ways acknowledge the Lord. And then the promise, and he will make your paths straight. Three spiritual conditions in seeking God's specific will for your life, for my life. Number one, the attitude of my mind and heart is to be one of spirit. His ministry is to guide and show us and direct us. And then thirdly, the application of the scriptures. Now some practical examples, some applications. When it comes to daily routine and activity, I get up and seek to say, God guide me, Holy Spirit show the way, I trust you, and then I go full force ahead. I call it the green light principle for daily living. I live responsibly. I seek to have my heart and my mind and my ears in tune with the Holy Spirit. I relax. I jump in with both feet. I go, and when God's gives the green light, I go full force ahead. Now, once in a while, God will give the red traffic light. I'm sorry, the yellow traffic light. I'll go in order. The yellow traffic light. And when God gives Carl the yellow traffic light, I cool it. And it's helpful to remember that God is a God of eternity. He is eternally past. He is eternal into the future. And God isn't always in the hurry that Carl is. And God doesn't always have the deadlines that Carl imposes upon himself, or we impose upon ourselves. And God is patient. God is working. God is growing us. Green light, go. Full force ahead. Jump in with both feet. Yellow light, cool it. I need to take a step back and say, God, further reveal your will and your way and your purposes to me. But if God gives the red light, then I got to stop. Obviously, I am not listening to the Holy Spirit. I get a stop sign. Carl, stop. Don't go down this road. Take a detour. If you're on I-80 or I-235 or I-35 or I-3580, if those lanes shift, the cones call us to shift over, I shift over. I don't go where the road used to be, right? Or if there's floodwaters ahead, I follow the words of meteorologists on TV. If you see floodwaters, turn around, don't. There it goes. Carl, in following God's specific will for your life, when there's floodwaters ahead, Carl, turn around, don't drown. Otherwise, I wake up to the green light principle for daily living, and I say, God, guide me. I surrender. I submit to you. God says, live responsibly. I relax, and I jump in with both feet, and I go full force ahead. The green light principle for daily living. Now, on occasion, God invites Amy and I to make a major transition, to maybe move to a new community. And when it comes to making major decisions or crisis decisions, then I follow what I call the airport runway lights. Airport runway lights approach. Now I need to back up and take a couple of minutes to explain what I'm talking about. While in Sioux Center, Northwest Iowa, it was an opportunity to serve on Words of Hope Board of Trustees. And most of us know Words of Hope as sending out the daily devotional, but in multiple languages around the world, Words of Hope is bringing the gospel broadcast through various means. Can be radio, can be shortwave, it can be digital. And so was invited to serve on the Words of Hope Board of Trustees, and this required two or three times going to Grand Rapids, Michigan to have meetings and pray, come alongside the Words of Hope team and pray for them in Grand Rapids, Michigan. Now, also serving on the board at that time was a friend in the community, Arnie Verhoef, and he was very generous with multiple ministries and missions and missionaries and church, his local church in the community, and he was friends and supported financially Angel Aircraft Corporation. Now, Angel Aircraft Corporation, a couple of friends at Moody Bible Institute in Chicago, when they were students, felt the call of God to be bush pilots and mechanics in South America. And a disappointment of these bush pilots and mechanics is often when there was an emergency on the mission field. When there was an emergency, the single-engine planes rarely held all the people who wanted to go to the medical team or to the hospital, and it rarely held all the cargo that they wanted to put into the plane. So when they wrapped up their time as bush pilots and mechanics in South America, they came to Northwest Iowa, and God laid on their hearts the vision to build a double engine plane that could carry, it was an eight-seater, and it could carry far heavier cargo, but it still could land and take off on very short runways. Okay, so if we can have the picture, there it is, Angel 44. Friends got together and said, let's build a bigger aircraft so we can carry more people, especially on emergency runs, and more cargo. So you'll note that there's bigger wheels so that it could land on grass or even dirt runways. And it had a stronger landing gear so it could land and take off on grass runways or even dirt rough runways. And it was designed to land and take off on very short runways. And one of the principles that they developed is instead of putting the engines or the motors on the front of the main wing, they put the motors on the back of the main wing. So the propellers, instead of pulling the plane, were pushing the plane. And with multiple mechanical design, it still, this aircraft, Angel 44, could still land on very short, and take off, on very short mission field runways. Obviously, this took the two designers. The one spent 11,000 hours designing the plane. And then he and his partner and a couple of sons started building the plane. And now I'll go back to Arnie Verhoef. Arnie Verhoef came in early October-ish and said, "Carl, how about instead of paying Delta Airlines to fly you to Grand Rapids, Michigan, out of Sioux Falls or Omaha, how about if we pay the pilot, and he's got other passengers, how about if we use that money to pay the pilot to get flying hours and fly in, fly in this airplane or a replica of it?" And so he came and said, "Carl, how about if we take a smaller plane? How about if we pay, instead of the ticket price to Delta, we pay the pilot of an Angel 44 aircraft to fly us to Grand Rapids, Michigan. And we've got family members that want to come from Sioux County and visit family out there. Let's all combine in this plane and fly to Grand Rapids, Michigan." He didn't tell me how small the plane was. And because I was the tallest by a couple of inches, broader shoulders, and heavier, he asked my weight because he had to balance the cargo and all the passengers in the plane. And early in the morning from a Sioux County airport, Arnie and I and the pilot and other passengers were flying either this plane or a replica of it to Grand Rapids, Michigan. All through Iowa, all through Wisconsin. Because it was a twin-engine plane, he dare fly it over Lake Michigan. I was praying and praying and praying as we were flying over Lake Michigan. And then when our meetings were over, it was late afternoon, and we boarded the plane in Grand Rapids, Michigan, and flew across Lake Michigan, across Wisconsin, across Iowa. And I said, "Sir, I've been by some of these small town airports and the lights are all out. They're dark. How do you see to land this plane in the airport where our vehicle is waiting?" Well, if we could go to the runway lights, I noticed a couple of miles before we were about to land, the pilot lined up this Angel 44 straight in line with the runway lights. And he landed it right in between the outer runway lights, and we landed safely in that Sioux County airport. And because I was in the co-pilot position and I could see the windshield and right out the window, I saw the lights and the pilot line the plane up and bring us safely down on that Sioux County airport. When Amy and I are invited to make a major transition, maybe move, go to a new ministry or church and share the love of God with the fellowship of believers, I line up the airport runway lights and trust, if I got them all in line, I will, and Amy and I will land safely on the runway of God's will. Now, what are those lights? I'm glad you asked, because we're going to go there. A couple sets of lights. Number one, inner conviction. On the outside of the runway of God's will, line up inner convictions. Do I truly desire God's will? Am I listening to the Holy Spirit, or do I want to presume on God, my will and way, and I'm not listening to the Holy Spirit? Is my life squared away? Am I surrendering to the Holy Spirit? Number one, the outer runway lights of inner conviction. Number two, the outer lights of external circumstances. When I consider a major transition, do our values line up? Our sense of purpose, our sense of vision, our sense of direction. Can Amy and I lead this ministry or church family where the Lord wants them to go? The lights of inner conviction, the lights of external circumstances. Thirdly, the lights of advice from Christian friends. Always when making a major, if I had time, would call up small group elders and pastors that and elders that I trusted, and I would say, please pray and ask the Holy Spirit, what does God want Carl and Amy to do? And I asked pastors and elders that had the guts to say maybe what I didn't want to hear. Godly advice from Christian friends. Then fourthly, spiritual and scriptural confirmation. Usually when God was inviting a major change and a major transition, I took a week to go to Inspiration Hills, which is near Inwood, Iowa, and preferably in silent retreat, would pray, read the Psalms, read the epistles. As I would walk around and see deer and coyote and wild turkey on the 300 acres of Inspiration Hills, I'd say, God, I'm listening. Holy Spirit, please. We're in a major transition possibility. Show me the way. And one Sunday, I went to Inspiration Hills, and God said, go. But on Monday, God said, through the scriptures, no, don't go. Tuesday, as I read the Psalms and the epistles, no, don't go. Wednesday, no, don't go. Thursday, no, don't go. The outer lights of the runway of God's will, inner conviction. Number two, external circumstances. Number three, advice from Christian friends. Number four, spiritual and scriptural confirmation, and which led to going home and saying, Amy, I know on Sunday I said go. I felt that's the Holy Spirit's leading. Now, all week in silent retreat, the Lord said, no, don't go. And Amy and I prayed for 48 hours, and he gave a special peace, an affirmation that the answer from the Lord was, no, don't go. Which leads us to fourthly, doing God's will. First of all, we're to be obedient from the heart. If you turn with me to Ephesians 6, 6. And I think I shared a sixth grader's memory of Galatians and Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians. It's go eat popcorn, Carl. And I am told Rocky Mountain High group that was also talked about at Rocky Mountain High, right? Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians. As long as we remember the epistles by Go Eat Popcorn Carl, and we don't think about Carl, all right? Go Eat Popcorn Carl. Ephesians 6:6. Carl and Amy, when God says go, jump in with both feet. Ephesians 6:6. Obey them not only to win their favor when their eye is on you, but like saved slaves of Christ. And here we have it. Carl, Amy, have an attitude and a mindset that you're a servant of Jesus, doing the will of God from your heart. Next, am I ready to cooperate? Philippians, in my Bible, it's just a page to Philippians 12 and 13. When God says no, jump, return to ministry, continue. But if God says go, jump in with both feet and cooperate. Philippians 2:12 and 13. Therefore, my dear friends, as you have always obeyed, not only in my presence, but now much more in my absence, continue to work out your salvation with fear and trembling. And then verse 13, for it is God who works in you to will and to act according to his good purpose. Obedience from the heart, ready to cooperate, but it is always in ministry. It is always through the empowering work of the Holy Spirit. If I tried to do things in my strength and my will and my way, usually it falls flat and it fails. Although God can work in spite of my faults and failures. He certainly can. But it is usually through the empowering work of the Holy Spirit. Turning near the end of our Bibles to Hebrews 13:21. Hebrews 13:21, our final passage for this morning. Hebrews 13:21. And I'll read the last couple of verses of verse 20. May the great shepherd of the sheep equip you with everything good for doing his will, that he may work in us and through us, in a sense, what is pleasing to the Lord through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. Sometimes it requires a steep learning curve to transition to a new community and a new ministry. Sometimes it takes giant steps of faith. Sometimes it takes patience and seed planting and bringing people along. Sometimes it requires, Carl, just getting out of the way and letting others use the gifts and the skills God has given. So wake up, friends, submitting and humbly before the Lord and say, God, guide me. Holy Spirit, I'm listening to you. Holy Spirit, empower me. And then as we rest at night, we can ask, how did I do in discovering and doing God's will today? Let's pray together. Lord, thank you for the opportunity to study your word about your will. We're grateful, God, that you have a plan and a purpose and a will, and all things are moving in accordance with your will. Jesus, enable us to discern and be obedient in doing your will. Lord, we're so grateful that the Rocky Mountain High team had a great experience in Estes Park, Colorado. There are many camps throughout the summer. Holy Spirit, continue to move and stir and work in the hearts and the minds and the lives of those we love. Jesus, as a great physician, touch those in need of healing and recovery and grant new strength for each day. Holy Spirit, part of your work is comforting those who grieve. Please, Holy Spirit, come alongside those who know loss and grant hope and grant peace. We appreciate that the schools throughout Iowa, across Iowa, honor Family Week and Dead Week, time for many families to be on vacation. Blessings as we shift into a busy August. Band camp, football camp, cross country, volleyball, show choir, choreography camp. As we gear up for many activities, please, Lord, protect, keep from injury, enable each one of our family and friends to continue to grow in you, Jesus. We're mindful of the activities of Westview Church, the iCubs game this afternoon, the middle school and high school mystery social this afternoon, the Seasoned Citizens Fellowship and ice cream tonight, the dessert bike ride tomorrow night. Holy Spirit, grant a deeper connection, and may each one feel supported and encouraged along life's pathway. We pray it in Jesus' name, and all God's people said, amen.
Would you stand and let's respond in song this morning?
Thank you for joining us for the Westview Church podcast. We hope that you are blessed as we studied scripture together today. We'd love to invite you to our worship service at Westview Church, which takes place at 9:30 on Sunday mornings. May God richly bless your day.